Greetings, family, on a fantastic Friday evening, Friday afternoon, wherever you may be, on a beautiful day. Lord have mercy. It's the Teddy Bear. Welcome to the zone of LOTO Radio, Night Tracks, my goodness. And it is an honor, very special guest, but all of our guests are special, but I've been a long admirer of this man, very talented singer, songwriter, formerly of the legendary group Three Dog Nights, Lord have mercy, Mr. Chuck Negron. And he is joining us this afternoon. Chuck, how are you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing, man, you're looking spry and beautiful, man. It's a beautiful day. Man, you know what? It is truly a blessing to have you here on the show. Your life has been an incredible journey. And by the grace of God, you are here joining us today. And it's definitely a beautiful thing. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. So my wife is leaving. Well, hey. You know, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for your invitation.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I got to ask you, man, you've been through so much and you've experienced so much in your life. You've had an opportunity to kind of look back and see the things and the obstacles that you have overcome. How are you feeling right now from an emotional standpoint and also from a physical standpoint right now?
You know what? My life is good. Emotionally, my two youngest girls, one finished college at CalArts three, four years ago. And then my youngest is a senior at DePaul. And then my older kids, have children and, life is good. I have some handicaps. I have some lung issues from a car accident I had.
Okay.
Back in the day, I was a passenger. You know, a bunch of people loaded, and they drove into a pole. And on my side of the, anyway, all my ribs were broken, and they tore my lungs apart. So, and then in recovery. I had to go to work sooner than I should have, and I got pneumonia. So my lungs are compromised. But I feel strong, and I'm going to start a physical therapy with lifting and stuff again pretty soon.
Having that kind of support system from your family and especially your wife, what has that meant to you, man?
Oh, well, it's really turned me, turned me around, because when I first met Amy, I took oxygen, the little portables on the road, but I only used them when I was on the plane, because I had this diagnosis that I needed them on the plane. So I was starting to have problems, on stage, singing, like a 9-minute set, because my breathing was, really... really bad, and I didn't have any oxygen. So we found out that was the reason. I said, I guess I can't do this anymore. So she found this company that made they're called OxyView, and I'm wearing them right now. They're the glasses, and the oxygen comes come through the back and then through these little cannulas that come down the side of the nose. And on stage, no one can even see them. So I was able to get the oxygen I needed to be able to perform, and not make the people uncomfortable. Sadly, people, things make them, uncomfortable. Like Teddy Pendergrass was a great example. I mean, when he came out in the wheelchair, as great as he still sang, people were uncomfortable. People just. I don't know why, but they're just fragile that way. So anyway, so I was able to continue, and I would be touring right now if it wasn't for the COVID. I've been out 3 years. I can't even believe it. 3 years, my friend. of COVID. I was going to go this summer, and then people started getting sick again, and then we found out that on the bus, several people got COVID, and, I'm glad I didn't go.
Yeah, it's been really rough the last couple of years with the COVID. And I've noticed a lot of artists like yourself, they've been doing a lot of virtual concerts.
And yes, it's a great idea. And, you know, my wife has told me, you know, to do that. And I just haven't had the, I've been doing a lot of writing. So I just didn't have, I don't know, the interest. I didn't think, actually, my voice was in shape once we got to that point. But then I started singing, and God, my voice is, you know, it's just amazing that, you know, something you're given, you know, a gift from God, you know, that my voice is fine. You know, think after you know, a year or so of not working, it would suffer. But you know, I'm singing again. It's studying and vocal coach, and you know, so yeah. So.
Well, it's definitely a blessing, and again, it's a blessing for us to have you here. And for those who are tuning in late, shame on you, but the teddy bear does forgive you. We're being honored today with the super talented Mr. Chuck Negron, of course, formerly of Three Dog Night. I've had an opportunity to read your book, and my goodness, your life, when they come up with the adage, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, my God. It, you, and I'm looking at where you are right now. It is definitely a blessing because you experienced life through a journey that very few have been able to come out on the other side. And when you look back and reflect on where you're at right now, how does it make you feel to say, you know what? I'm still here by the grace of God. I'm truly blessed.
I am, you know, I am blessed, and it's a great question. And at my age now, I have to say, you know, when reflecting, that there is pain, there is some pain and shame, actually, that I have, you know, I've affected my family the way that I did. Now, you know, I mean, it's years. I'm clean 30 years, and in a month I'll be 31 years clean. Clean and sober. I do remember the things I help younger people. So I hear what they're doing and it reminds me, oh God, I did that. I was at a meeting last night and a guy shared about, you know, something about his child. And I went, oh my God, I did something similar, you know, where I left my child somewhere, you know, where it shouldn't have been. And you know, anyway, just so, a lot of the reflection is joy, and most of it is thank gratitude from a loving and forgiving God that, you know, that I've been set free from the bondage of addiction, and that I have made my amends to my family, and I have been there for them. These two girls have never seen me loaded, you know. So it's a gift, but with that comes along the baggage of deeds I cannot undo. All I can do is, is try to make my amends, not only with words, but living amends, acting better.
Right. Reading your book and you go into detail, I mean, very transparent detail as far as the level of transparency, excuse me, that the person that was most critical of you was you. I mean, you were harder on yourself than anyone else could possibly be. I think a lot of us, it's like I think all of us have experienced this one time or another. We could mislead or lie to other people, but we could never lie to ourselves because we have to look and face ourselves each and every day in the mirror. But at the end of the day, you have overcome, man. You still have a wonderful, strong voice, man. You still can belt it out. You look wonderful. You look you look 25, brother.
So don't need to worry about it. You're my friend. You handsome devil.
Hey, man, I'm trying, man. I'm trying, man. I'm getting a lot of positive love and feedback. They say, yeah, a virtual concert would be wonderful. I think that's long overdue, being the confine of your own home. And again, yeah. Your voice is still incredible, man. What does it feel like to say, you know what? I can still out sing a lot of these artists out here today. I can still belt it out.
You know, I read, well, it's not a thing I did recently, but Chuck D he said something. He mentioned me one day. He said, they asked if he knew me. And he said, yeah, I met Chuck. He said, we did a thing in New York for ASCAP and for, the Grammy people. And they had this whole group of all, of contemporary stars. And he said, I hadn't met Chuck, but when Chuck walked in, you saw all the guys that sing get very uncomfortable because he was the best. That's what he said. I didn't say that. And I went, oh, my God, that's very nice. But I wanted to get back to a question. You talked about the transparency in my book. I have been asked to write a book because my story is, pretty insane. And I didn't do it. But right around when I got 5 years clean, I started reading some of the books that were out there of my peers, and I was very disappointed in them. They glamorized and romanticized this lifestyle of drugs, sex, rock and roll, and I went, no, you don't want kids to read this and think this is cool, and then the ultimate goal, and then we can die at 27, and I actually said, and always look good. No, I know you're dead. I said, that's what I just said. I'm going to write this book, and I'm going to tell it like it is. Right. I'm going to tell it like it is. And I made the book brutal. And a couple of years ago, we got a request for me to, read the book and online and go over chapters and talk about chapters. And I made about 3 episodes, and I couldn't do any more. I couldn't take it. I couldn't read the book. It was too painful because it brought up. It was real what I wrote, and all those feelings came back, and it was just too much for me. I just thought, so I was just the right time in my recovery. I was, just full of gratitude and wanting to, people to understand what this disease and what addiction does, and what we're going through in this country now. With these synthetic drugs and the fentanyl. And we have an epidemic here of proportions that we've never seen. And it's just not a political talking point. So nothing's being done. If for some reason it's not romantic or glamorous or whatever it takes for politicians to jump on something. And, drugs now are more prevalent and more dangerous than they've ever been before.
I look back because we're both 21. We've been around the block a few times. In that era of music with Three Dog Night, of course, Todd Rundgren, you name just those artists of that era. It was a lot of excessive behavior because everything was available to have. If you could get in a time machine and go back to when Chuck was 22, 23 years old, what would be the conversation that you would have to him to help him be better prepared for the journey that he's about to experience, not only in the music industry, but just in life in general?
Yeah, well, I would say, because I remember the first day I did get high, I would say, don't do this. These people, you respect them. And, you haven't done drugs all through your life, through college. You played ball. You've never smoked a cigarette. Don't start now at 21, 22, whatever I was. Don't start now. It will ruin your life because, the reason I did it, I was at a party. I was on Columbia Records and, they wanted me to get a part of the scene, kind of change my look because I was so clean cut. Kind of said, you kind of look like a narc, man, And then, sent me years with starlets I met these girls, they took me to a party, and it was a party from Donovan Leach, and the Mothers of Invention were playing, and I saw all these people, Janis Joplin, and all the people that I went, oh my God, I like these people. And they were all getting high. I mean, right out in the open. I mean, cocaine, right out in the open. You know, and I'm going, oh my God, I'm worried about getting busted. Oh God, oh, my mother knew I was here. Oh my God, I'm so pure. But I made a decision right then that, you know, if these guys are doing it, I mean, some of these kids are millionaires.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're doing it, I mean, they're not stupid. I mean, you know, and by the way, there was no information about LSD. I mean, it was legal. When I took LSD, it was legal. It was literally legal. Like, and because I was in the loop with these people, I got it from Osley. The people who made it. So all these people were doing this stuff. And who knew back then? I mean, like Valium, when it came out, non-addicting, no problem, non-addicting. This was not non-addicting. All the pharmaceutical companies were just coming in to their own. I would, you know, Seconal, Tylenol. There was a pill for everything. Remember the Stones wrote "Mama's Little Helper" or whatever it is.
Yeah, I remember.
And you know, there was no history of what these drugs did to you, so it was naive. And we were, you know, we weren't going to drink like our parents did. My parents didn't drink, but you know, this saying we weren't going to be like our parents and, you know, alcohol and all this stuff. And I just went for it. And I would have told myself, that's a great question. I would have said, Chuck, you know, you're on the right path. You know, you can hang with them. Just don't do their drugs. Just stay away from the drugs. It will be trouble for you. You know, and that's, or I would, you know, I have information and tell them, you know, these drugs are addicting and blah, 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 you know.
It's another level of when you're being a celebrity, a young celebrity, a young artist. It's a whole different level of peer pressure because you're seeing people that you admire.
Yes.
Doing this. You say, wait a minute, it must be cool because they're doing it. And I don't want to feel like I'm being left out. And I use that analogy where you have kids in high school, junior high school, college, the same thing. They don't want to feel like they're, quote unquote, being a square. They want to fit in. They want to be, you know, part of the cool crowd.
Yeah, they see the cheerleaders and the athletes, and they go, well, these kids are really good, or, you know, students with the straight A, you know, thing, average. You know, oh, God, they're doing well. Well, it can't be bad, you know. Yeah, you're right. It's a different kind of peer pressure, but very powerful.
Very much so. Very much so. I hearken back to, and people from the outside looking in, they truly don't really understand the pressure that an artist has to deal with when they're dealing with a record label, when they're dealing with management, trying to push you in a different direction, and they're taking away your individuality. They're taking away the ability to be who you are as an artist. I feel like if Chuck is just allowed to be left alone and be an artist, to be the best version of himself, I honestly feel you never would have went down that road. But then in hindsight, it made you a better person because self-reflection on who you are today. And yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing.
The road you travel makes you who you are. I just would pray that these young kids, you know, don't go down. So listen, what the first Grammy that we went to, we weren't even nominated. We were just so hot. They invited us to do a number. And they don't do that anymore. Because they got enough stars there. Why invite someone else? But they did, actually. And we sat, you know, we did one of some. And in the bathroom, I'm not going to mention their names, but the president of two companies, big man, was sharing their coke. Oh, this is really good. This is Mollycroft. This is the pharmaceutical. I'm just there washing my hands going, Jesus Christ, that's he's doing cocaine. You know, that was the beginning of our career. I'm going, oh my. So, you know, the people that are running the companies are getting high.
Yeah. I mean, that era, then that segues into the disco era, where it went to a whole nother level, you know, as far as accessibility. Studio 54. I mean, as you said, during that time, LSD, cocaine, it was free. It was free. I mean, it was just incredible. And like I said, I look back now, and like I said, I consider it an honor and a privilege to have you here. Oh, and I got to ask you, man, I'm reading all the comments and the love that's coming in. People so much want to see you do a virtual concert. I want you to do it.
I'm going to get it together. The thing is, we've been kind of nervous to having people in here. But okay. You know what? Now we don't even have to have them in here.
Right.
Just do it from there. You know, the new Pro Tools setup has, you can have studios all over the place. That's another thing. I want to set up a better system. The computer I have now, I really need to upgrade to be able to do the stuff I want to do properly. You know, anyway, that's just an excuse.
Well, I'm like this. Whatever you need, please don't hesitate to let us know, because I want to see you. I want to see you do it. And a lot of support. I don't like to use the term fans. It sounds too generic.
Yeah.
Supporters, loved ones, people who just love your music. They want to see you do it. Yeah. And speaking of that, understand also that you have an online service that sells great Three Dog Night memorabilia. Can you tell the listeners out there about that?
Yes. It's on the Whatnot app. Is it an app? I don't know what you call it. It's whatnot. What we do is, my wife is an artist who makes dolls, and she became very, very popular, and she has a show. So they asked if I would be interested, and I said, well, yeah, what would I do? And basically, there was a fan, and I knew the guy, and his daughter got cancer.
Okay.
And the interesting thing, the most to raise money, the thing that he had spent all his money on was Three Dog Night memorabilia and records.
Wow.
And he was trying to sell it. So I bought it, never thinking I would ever use it. But I bought it because I wanted him to have the money, because he needed it. And, you know, and I wanted him to know that, because he cherished it, that someone who loved it had it. So it was like a double win for him and me. So when this came along, I had, I have boxes of the original singles, original albums, all sorts of memorabilia from back in the day. I mean, the guy bought it back then. So, we have a nice, variety of Three Dog Night stuff. And we're going to expand and do some other stuff, our friends, Paul Simon, from is it Paul Simon? My brain is Paul Stanley.
Kiss.
He put out an album a couple years that I just completely love, and I want to, I have to call him and get him to sign me a couple and sell some. And then he can give it to a charity of his desire, because I'm sure he just needs the money. I mean, that band's doing really well. God, they were just touring in South America and all over. Yeah.
Sold out concerts.
Sold the show. He sent me a picture.
Sold out.
60,000 people. I went, oh my God, God bless you. Thank God. You know what that is? That's young people.
Yeah.
People my age are not going to stand in a group of 60,000 people. You can't get to the bathroom quick enough.
Well, Chuck, like I've always said, we want our real music shaken, but never stirred.
Oh, yeah. But yes, yeah, Wednesday. It's Wednesday at 5 p.m. Specific time. And, we do about an hour and a half. And Amy also makes some dolls. You'd have to see them. She does a Chuck doll.
With
the mustache and the clothes. She makes everything all well. Anyway, it's a guess. And we, just like you, we get to see all the comments of the fans. We get to answer questions as they're coming up. And I like it.
It's definitely a beautiful thing. As a matter of fact, I have a beautiful young lady, Carol Rochelle, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, watching and tuning in all the way from Portugal.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Lord. They love you.
That's so sweet.
What has it been like for you now with social media being so advantageous for so many artists, where now you're getting a lot of new listeners that love you. I love the doll, man. That's that's different. That is.
There's a Chuck and with a Jeremiah. He's holding Jeremiah the deep blue sea. Anyway, I'm sorry. You were asking a question.
No, but you know what I called when you showed me that. I said, "Wow, that's who designed that? Your wife?
That's my wife. She does these. Wow. This is just one kind of." A doll that she does. I mean, she does some big things too. But this is, you know, this. She made this for the last Whatnot show, and it was, you know, someone got it.
She's very talented. And while we're talking about that, I want to give all the listeners out there that pertinent information. The web link. It's at www.whatnot.com/invite Chuck Negron. So make sure you go there. Get a piece of history, definitely.
And I twerk. I twerk for all the girls.
Really? Okay.
I don't know why I said that stupid thing, but I did.
Hey, if you got it, Chuck, flaunt it, baby. It's all right.
I just give you a little white butt.
You know, do you ever get a chance to go back and look at some classic live performances of yourself when you were part of Three Dog Night?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll be passing doing you know, some of the social media, and then boom, there will be a video. I'm like, oh, I remember. It's mind-boggling. I remember stuff. I even remember one show where I was going. I went, you know, in the makeup room, and I said, he said, well, what do you like? And I said, I don't know. And he looked at my face. Oh my God! You don't need any, you know. I remember that.
Right.
I wanted makeup. I had never had makeup on. Go, come on, give me a little. You know. Anyway, that was a show called A Music Scene, which was a great show. Uh-huh. Billboard, the top 10 every week, and they had the number one record every week in the country. So, I mean, it was a really great show. They weren't picked up because back then we didn't have the power that young people have today. I mean, for us to even have a special, it was really, really hard. You know, I mean, because, I mean, even like you say, a perfect example would be the Grammys. I mean, Lou Rawls won R&B almost every year. Marvin Gaye, James Brown, didn't even get a chance, you know, because it was a whole other... You know, a whole other generation of people ran the place, and the TV and movies, all those things were run. That's why Easy Rider and became so powerful, because they changed the mindset. Because what changes the mindset of adults is money.
Yeah.
You know, this movie made a lot of money. Let's make 10 of them. You know, so it wasn't until years later. Now today, you know, young people. You know, the music scene is all 50 award shows, and so it's changed. We kind of made the way by being successful on these shows, and you know, in concert, that you know, we changed things. No, I remember it was a good example. I'm sorry.
No. Go right ahead.
You know, we were very aware. But this young boy that we knew, we thought he had MS. I can't actually had something else. But he was, but the MS thing with Jerry Lewis is very prevalent. So we decided we would like to do something, and we contacted him. Said, we're going to do a concert for you, and we're going to give you the money. So, you know, we paid for everything, and after all the expenses and everything, there was something like, I don't know, $75,000 or something.
Okay.
Something like that, you know, because it wasn't a huge stadium. It was just, you know, the concert. So anyway, and we gave them that money. Now, $75,000 today would be a couple hundred thousand dollars, you know. So, this is what they did. We gave them footage of the show, the concert, and all this stuff. And Jerry Lewis and I guess it was Ed McMahon, they put us in the section of the cards. Ed from Milwaukee, $1. Ed Dahmer, $3 a night, $75,000. It's what, just like that. Like, It was so insulting. But we wouldn't, you know, we had no clout because we were, you know, we were freaks to them. I mean, you know, we were long-haired freaks. You know, and, you know, they associated all musicians, all people looked like us, like people who didn't want the war. Most of us didn't, but, you know, people who, you know, that were the counterculture. And that wasn't the case with them. You know, a lot of us were just trying to make a living. I mean, that's what I was doing, you know.
You know what, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And again, just remaining true to yourself. And again, I want to say to all the many listeners that are tuning in and tuning out all the negativity, the teddy bears gives you nothing but love. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And Chuck, I'm proud to call you a brother, man. Thank you so much for honoring us. And again, be sure, again, if you need anything, please do not hesitate to reach out to the teddy bear. And we will definitely make it happen. And much love to your lovely wife.
Oh, thank you.
For putting this together, man. It's definitely be a blessing. And I'm going over to the website because I got to get my hands on some Three Dog Night memorabilia. Yes, Lord.
Teddy, give me some.
Yes, Lord. Oh, before I let you go, I want to also give a lot of love to a show that left a very strong impression on me, Midnight Special. I don't think they get enough love and enough respect that it should have during that time, because it was a great venue for a lot of great artists like yourself to get out there and show what they could do. Live instrumentation, people who could really sing, people who could really
sing and play at the same time.
Incredible. Imagine that.
And that was a very, it made TV viable for us because it was successful. And the kids got to see everybody. I mean,
Everyone. My brother, thank you so much. Be well, stay healthy. And family, again, once again, head over to the website. That's at www.whatnot.com/invite-course. The legendary Mr. Chuck Navon. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Lord have mercy. It's a beautiful day. Here in the zone of LOTO Radio. Lord, I want to thank everyone for tuning in and tuning out all the negativity. Special love and special thank you, of course, to the legendary Mr. Chuck Negron. And all the family out there, I call you family, not fans, too generic, family and friends. Thank you for tuning in to us. And for those who missed the interview, no need to fear. It's going to be up and running so you can catch the interview in its entirety on LOTO, The Zone. That's on our page. And also it'll be uploaded to our YouTube page. That's Night Tracks Podcast. Night Tracks, NITTRAXX on YouTube. Lord have mercy. God bless. And as in always, keep it soulful here in The Zone of LOTO Radio. Lord have mercy.